do you remember when your body
Talk Radio.
He said, turns it into fat.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
God in all that we do, no matter belongs to him in the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. We pray his holy kingdom reign. Oh, to the glory of God. Yeah, in all that we do, no matter where we are, all to the glory of God.
All the diamonds and all the gold, for as far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love
says in Romans 10:14-15 in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, Evangelist Hilda. How are you this morning?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. I should say, how are you this lovely morning?
Amen. It is beautiful out.
Yes, very nice outside. Amen. At least I haven't been out there, but
neither me.
I don't know if it's cold or what. Amen.
It's cold. Just looking out through the window.
Okay. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. This morning, we're so glad to have you on board. Amen. Just want to give a shout out to our radio listeners. I want to give a shout out to Evangelist Hilda for all that she's done on this radio program that she's on Tuesday to Saturday. Amen. She's on from Tuesday to Saturday, but from Tuesday to Friday, brings a word on Thursday, and she might bring a word on Thursday and Friday. Amen. And also, a sweet hour of prayer. Amen. From Tuesday to Friday, she brings sweet hour of prayer. Amen. And I also want to give a shout out to our psalmist, Sister Barbara, who's going to be on right after I'm off of the program. And we're going to be looking forward to her beautiful poetry. Amen.
Amen.
A beautiful poetry.
God.
And I don't know if Pastor Jackson is going to, Pastor Kathy is going to be on, her and her husband. We're talking the sanctuary. So we're going to be looking forward to that. Amen.
Amen.
So, I just want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington, to Apostle Jackson and her family, and also her congregation, and also Dr. V. Turner, her congregation and her family. And I hope all is well with all of them. They've been such a blessing to this radio ministry, and that's why we talk about them every single week. Amen. They've been a blessing to this radio ministry. As I said before, with our radio listeners, I just want to let you know that our visionary and his spouse, they send you their love and their greetings, and they hope that all is well with you. Amen. We all do. We hope that all is well with you, because we know that there's a lot going on with this pandemic. Amen. But things seems to be getting better. Amen. Seems to be getting better. You know, whatever we go through is only but for a moment. It's only for a moment. Although with us, it seemed like it's such a long, long period of time. You know what I mean? But everything has its ending. Everything has its ending, except the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And that's eternal. But everything else has an end. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
So we hope that all is well with you. So, you know, right here I'm going to turn, you know what I do every single week? I acknowledge Father God, because he likes to be acknowledged. He likes us to show him, show our love to him, our respect, you know, to exalt him, to glorify him, to magnify him. And that's as it should be, because he's the creator. Amen. There's Amen. Nothing that we can do without God. Whether you recognize God or not, there's nothing we can do without him.
Amen.
When you were coming to be born, you couldn't stop being born. And when you go to die, you can't stop dying. Amen.
Amen.
You can't stop the dying part.
That's right.
When it's your time to go, guess what? You go. Amen. Praise God. So we just want to give God all the praise, all the glory that's due him. And anyway, without God, there would be no Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We all talk about Jesus all the time, but without God, guess what? There would be no Jesus, because God is Jesus who came down in the flesh.
Amen.
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 Praise God. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. You could be in China. You could be in Russia. Whatever is going on, wherever it is. You know, you could be in India. You could be in England, Australia. You could be in the Caribbean. You could be in Africa. There's so many different places that you could be that you're hearing my voice right now. But one thing that pulls us together is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him crucified. That's the thing that makes us one.
Yes.
Amen. When you're in Christ and you've accepted him as your personal Savior and you're in the kingdom, that makes us one. One body. Forget about the color. The denomination. Forget about all them things, because God made all of it.
Yes, he did.
So the denominator, the bottom line is that we all belong to God in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to say a short prayer to God, and then after that I'm going to sing a word of encouragement to you.
Amen.
From God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God. So as I say this short prayer, you can get your pens and your papers out or whatever you need to do. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we offer to you our thanks today for your blessings on us, Lord. We come bringing gifts that are but indications of the generosity of your provisions for us. Because no matter what we're going through, Father God, we know that you have provided for us in many ways.
Yes.
And a lot of us in big ways, you have provided for us, Father God. You have provided for us throughout our lifetime, even from the time we was in our mother's womb up to this present moment. We remind ourselves that every beast of the forest and the cattle on a thousand hills belong to you. We come bringing gifts that we might share in the work of your kingdom, in proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth and in ministering to the needs of the unfortunate about us. And there's many unfortunate about us, Father God. And through us, Father God, you bless them through us, Father God. Bless these gifts and multiply them, Father, to your honor and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen. Praise
amen.
God.
Praise God.
Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing one song. Amen. If you know the song, you can sing it with me. And if you don't, it's all right. It's a word of encouragement from God, from Jesus.
Amen.
It's a word of encouragement today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
God be with you.
He who began a good work in you He who began a good work in you will be able to completed. He'll be able to complete it. He who started the work will be able to complete it in you. Oh, yes. He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be able to complete it. Will be able to complete it. He who started the work will be able to complete it in you. Oh, yes. If the struggle you're facing is surely replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. Yes. He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be able to complete it. He will be able to complete it. He who started the work will be able to complete it in you. Oh, yes. He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be able to complete it. He'll be able to complete it. He who started the work will be able to complete it in you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That was beautiful.
He who started a good work in you. Isn't that a beautiful song?
Amen.
It's so true. He who started a good work in you will be able to complete it.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because the God that we serve is self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
He's self-sustaining. He don't need anybody to help him be God. Amen.
Amen.
So if
Amen.
He starts the work in you, he's able to complete it.
Yes,
he's able to complete the work that he has started in you. So if you're worried about it, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to complete it. Amen.
Yes.
And
Amen.
He doesn't do things like we do anyway. God doesn't do things like we do it. You know, a lot of times you think it's going to work out this way and that way. It's hard to figure God out. You can't figure God out. Unless he just gives you a definite word about what he's doing. And even then, you only know to a point. You only know God to a point. God doesn't let us know him to, but to a point. Because he knows how we are. Remember
Amen.
Babel? When they was trying to get
yes.
up to God, he knocked
yes.
them all down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Because he
yes.
knows how we are. He knows how we are. He knows that he's the only good one. We're not good. You know what I mean? We say we're good and this and that and the other, but as time goes on, we change. One minute we're one way, the next minute we're some other way. You know, we're not stable. We're not as stable as God.
That's
we're not
right.
that stable.
We're
Amen.
Not. Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today. Amen. I'm going to say this short prayer as you get your Bibles, your pens, and your papers out. Father God, I just thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today to make them better, Father God, to help them to grow, Father God, and mature, Father God. As I go forth today, Father God, I ask you to protect that word as it goes into their spirit, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise. My scripture reading today is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. That's Hebrews 13, 1 through 16, where it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Mm-hmm. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own body. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is our helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be distracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking for a home yet to come. So even though we feel like this is our home, this is really not our permanent home. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Proclaiming our allegiance to the mighty name of Jesus. For at that name every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord of all, including all principalities and powers of this world. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus' name is above every name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. See, we want to know the sacrifices that please God. And one of the sacrifices is to share with those in need. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. When God's final shaking destroys the temporary and reveals the eternal, there will be one source of stability. And you know what that is? I talked about stableness, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one but that is stable, Jesus Christ, and his word. Jesus Christ is the word made flesh. Through him, we will transcend the limits of time and cross over the golden span to eternity. Amid constant flux and change stands the changeless Christ. See, he's changeless because he's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and always. Through the last Old Testament prophet, God affirmed, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." Our hope is in the changeless Christ, the changeless Lord. Pagan religions have capricious, arbitrary deities, but the Lord of God is dependable. In other words, these deities are not dependable. These idols, they're not dependable. These demons are not dependable. Amen. They'll fool you. They're full of lying and deceit, just like the devil. Amen. They're the devil's army. And they're full of lying and deceit. Mm-hmm. They're not stable. They're not stable. Amen. They come as an angel of light. Some of them will come as an angel of light, but they're not stable. Amen. So my text today is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And my title is, Have You Ever Wondered Why Jesus Doesn't Change? Have you ever wondered why Jesus doesn't change? The ethic outlook set down by Christ are always current. Even though Jesus was like 2,000 years ago in the Bible, the word was 2,000 years, you know what I mean, in the making. It's current. We could still look in God's word today and get something from it in for our life. His word is current. Jesus is current. In spite of technological and cultural progress, human nature remains the same. Sin continues to wreak its usual havoc in our lives, producing its usual selfishness and hatred. But Christ never changes.
Amen.
He never changes. And when you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And what is God? Love. God is love. In such a world as ours, the Christian is called upon to love. Let brotherly love continue. A vital part of love includes hospitality to those outside our realm of acquaintance. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels in unawares. To be sure, in our day when hotels are abundant, we can scarcely understand the predicament faced by travelers in the New Testament world, where inns were known for their exuberant rates, filth, and brawny characters. Early Christians began the practice of carrying letters of recommendation from their home congregations in order to find open doors in Christian homes along their journey, because they didn't want to go to these places, you know, that wasn't so good, you know what I mean? So they would carry letters of recommendations from the home congregation in order to find an open door in Christian homes. When all the public facilities were of such ill repute, a Christian home was a haven to the weary traveler. Today, there is still a place for Christian hospitality to those in need. And, you know, we've seen it throughout the pandemic, how places have been opened up, especially for people that need food. You know what I mean? Maybe a place to live. Even with this thing, with the immigrants, places are being opened up for them, a place where they can come. Amen.
Amen.
And who would do that? God would do that. God would open up a place. I feel like God heard some of their cries. He heard people's cries. Not only did he hear people in this country, but he heard their cries where they were at and what they were going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he made a way to bring them in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to even mention some of the ways he made, because I don't want to make you all feel really bad. But I can see the hand of God where he made a way for them to get into this country in droves. Amen. But like I said, I'm not going to mention the rest of it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But I can see the hand of God. I can see the hand of God. Because God hears our cries.
Yes, he does.
He hears our cries. And he can make a way out of no way.
No way.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Today, certainly, there is a place for Christian hospitality in the local community as a witness to strangers who live down the block. The Christian home has a tremendous opportunity to witness for Christ. Amen. So if people come into your home or in your midst, or just like when they had those long lines of people where they were getting food, that's a great opportunity to speak about God to people and his goodness. Amen. God and his goodness.
Yes.
Amen. Compassionate fellowship. The New Testament church was known for its fellowship as expressed by the term koinonia. It is a fellowship formed by the Holy Spirit's presence that enables Christians to share both joys and sorrows. When one remembers suffering, when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and with them which suffer adversity as being yourselves in the body. The author writes at a time when Christians are tempted to withdraw from the church because of impending persecution. Instead of withdrawing, they must stand together and if need be, suffer together. Because, you know, when you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted as a Christian. Everything is not going to go good for you all the time. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And the best thing you could do is stand together. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Stand together.
Stand together. That's right.
Amen. Today's morality advocates a type of decision-making that allows any violation of the Christian moral code. In certain situations, if love demands it, Jesus Christ is presented in Hebrews 13:8 as the one great absolute, and his expressed morality is timeless. The author of Hebrews singles out the matter of sexual morality for emphasis, since human lust has ever made this a crucial issue in life. So we're talking now about marriage. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. A great deal is said in this short verse. Marriage is declared to be the only legitimate expression of sexual relations. Within marriage, sex finds its fulfillment and divine purpose. In marriage, a man and a woman become one flesh in the eyes of God and give themselves completely to one another. Generally, fornication refers to sexual relations outside of marriage. Adultery refers to illicit relations on the part of those given in marriage, but going outside that relationship to satisfy their passions. Briefly, this reminds us that premarital sex is immoral, that extramarital sex is immoral, and that homosexuality is immoral, since it does not come within the divine bounds of one man and one woman joined together in the marriage bond. Amen? The marriage bond.
Amen.
Right now we're going to look at the source of strength is changeless. The source of strength is changeless. We're still talking about Christ and him being changeless.
Mm-hmm.
Believers in every age have been strengthened by Christ's promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ never ducks out on us.
Nope.
That's why we don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? If we have a friend or so-called friend or whoever, or sometimes your parents duck out on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sometimes your mother or your father ducks out on you. But Jesus will never duck out on you, will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When Joshua was given the place of leadership left vacant by Moses, the Lord said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know, it really boggles my mind that the Lord can be with me and be with billions of other people besides me. Have you ever thought about that? How God can be with you and be with billions of other people besides you?
Yes.
And if you neglect being with him, he knows it and he'll let you know. He said, how come you didn't come to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And he got all these billions of other people, these planets, these galaxies. God is so awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen.
He's really awesome. I mean,
yes,
he's like, wow.
Is.
You know what I'm saying? He don't miss a beat.
Nope.
I mean, if
no
you do something in the dark, he knows about it. He knows about it. If you try to keep something a secret, you can forget it.
That's right.
The greatest contender with God for man's opulence is mammon. And mammon is money. Mammon, if worshipped, will rob you of all contentment. In other words, you can't make money your God. You can't make money your God. God will supply you with all your needs, plus money. He will supply you with money.
Yes,
but you can't put money ahead of God. You can't make money your God. If worshipped, like I said, it will rob you of all your contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you even see rich people And a lot of them sometimes are not content. They're not happy. You know what I mean? And they got all this money. They can go on their yacht or whatever, but they're still not content.
Nope.
Money doesn't make you that content. You know what I mean? It'll pay your bills and stuff like that. But what really is your relationship with God? That will make you content. That'll satisfy your relationship with God and with Jesus. Why? Because God is love. And all of us are looking for love. A lot of us are out here looking for love. And the only true love is really God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The word translated covetousness literally means lover of money and is parallel with the word lover of brother. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, translated brotherly love, the Christian is not to be a brother lover, not to be a money lover, but a brother lover. Amen?
Amen.
Not to be a money lover, but a brother lover. Amen. Praise God. Though disciples in every age must find new ways to minister, the basic demands of discipleship remains the same. Let us then go to him outside the camp. We're talking about Jesus Christ, bearing the disgrace he bore, because we have to bear our cross just like Jesus does.
Amen.
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 Even though when we come into God's kingdom, everything is not going to be a bed of roses. We're going to have to bear our cross just like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus ever calls us out of the security of our cherished self-righteousness, out of human plans we have laid, to a journey of faith akin to that of Abraham. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this word today, and I am now turning it back into the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise be to God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. And before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning. God bless you all. How you doing?
Blessed, thank you. And you?
Praise God. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. On a beautiful day like this.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. All right. I'm going to read a poem that I wrote March the 23rd, about 9:03 in the evening. And it's entitled, Having the Talk. I was watching Oprah Winfrey's network, Queen Sugar, a series on TV, when the father, Ralph Angel, and the mother, Darla, had to have the talk with Blue, their young son, who was about 8. The parents, having just returned from a brief honeymoon, a brief stay away, when Blue asked why they had come back so soon, his father said, we saw things horrendous about the murder of an unarmed black man named George Floyd, killed by a white cop, dead due to a knee too long on his neck, him down on the ground, on the news. As Dollar tried to explain, son, you have to be careful out there. Ralph Angel joined in with, you have some good people in this world, kind and such. Blue said, his teacher said, there are no bad people, not so much. Ralph Angel said, yes, there are, so we have to be careful, so the rogue police don't harm, kill, or annihilate us. Blue said innocently, I won't be doing wrong. All three of them start to cry quietly. His father said, that really doesn't matter, son. Remember this. When you are, for any reason, stopped by the cops, you don't run, you stop. Don't give them any excuse to abuse you. That's when the bad cops shoot you in the back with their guns. This is, or should be, the treat given to all little black boys, all our little black sons. We want them to live even in the face with you may be innocent, son. It is unfair. But some take it upon themselves to be judge, jury, and executioner. Without proof, without a just trial. Some, though, take a life with a smile. Just because you are a black child, it's been lacking for a while. Do other ethnicities have a talk with their sons? I'm not sure. Are we the only race that has to be stopped or pulled over and yet be blameless and innocent, a target for guns? I've seen it for myself when others of a privileged race can be defiant, rude, and talk back profanely. They go home to live another day, alive, maybe with a pat on the back, even given a snack. They go home alive and well and live on. I don't understand it. It goes over my head. I'm confused how they can pick and choose life for one son and kill the other one dead. A cluster of emotion. Where does it begin? Where does it end? We cry. We fuss. We laugh together. We fight. Can't agree to disagree. We dislike, we disrespect, and upset one another for days and eons even. Once we get us together, then we can talk the talk about having the talk, and then mean and living it, you know, among ourselves. Then we can breathe. It makes me want to holler and scream where they do my life. Like Marvin Gaye famously sang on his What's Going On album. This ain't living, sang on Inner City Blues. And my scripture comes from Proverbs, the King James Version, chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through verse 7. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let this heart retain my, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, let it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Appreciate you.
Wow.
You.
And so
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I want to say that the scripture is beautiful. It says, get understanding. But unfortunately, there's some people that don't read the word at all. You know, they don't read it. They don't care nothing about it, you know. But scripture is very true.
Well, it is. But the thing I was going to say is, yes, we have people that don't read it, but if the ones that do read it would live it, then they would get the message.
Amen. Okay, so our speaker is with us. So at this time, we're going to have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction. And following that, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come with our talk in the sanctuary. Amen.
And I had a topic this morning. Okay.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Well, if there's any of you out there that want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your time to do it now. All you have to do is say this short prayer after me. Today I give to you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
Well, if there's any of you out there that have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ. We're really excited over you, and we know that all have rejoiced in you. If you don't have a church home, you can look on the internet or Zoom or maybe the churches are starting to open now. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place. Amen.
Amen.
Because when you said that short prayer, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. So, again, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ. And we are so excited over you. And we know that you're going to grow and mature as you go and listen to God's word. Amen. Praise God. So in 1 Peter it says, this is Peter writing to God's people. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and the Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by his blood, by the blood of Jesus. So may God give you more grace and more peace. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. And let us all say, amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, we're going to, we just lost Pastor Kathy, so we'll give her a chance to get back in. And while we're waiting, I just want to say, Mother, thank you for this. That wonderful word this morning. Truly, it was an awesome word. And as you say, Christ never changed, and he would never leave us, but we change and we leave him. So we
Amen.
Just gotta keep on reading his word, continue to follow his commands, and just stay closer to him if we want to see him in eternity and to be mm-hmm. with him in eternity. So we are just so grateful. Okay, Pastor Kathy is back. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How were you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome. Thank you.
Amen. It's
in your
Did
hand.
Did I hear Apostle Mother Wiggin?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I haven't heard your voice in a minute, young lady. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you? We missed you.
Blessed. Thank you. We've been praying. I said, oh, it must be cold up there. When it get cold, folks' bones and stuff start aching. Ooh.
Has it
gotten warmer up there?
Oh, yeah. We was 82 yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah.
Wow. 82
degrees.
82.
Wow.
We broke the record
yesterday. That is a record. Well, bless the Lord. I'm just so thankful. Apostle Mother Wiggins is on the line. Thank God. It's so good to hear from you. I'm trying to tell you, every chance we get, we bring you flowers, Mother. Just remember
that. Oh,
that
is so wonderful. And
every time we talk to you, we're giving you a dozen roses.
Amen.
Oh, God. I take every one of them.
Evangelist Hilda gives you two dozen.
Oh, my God.
I'll give
four. Yes, ma'am. What you going to do with all your flowers?
I don't know
because I got
flowers
in
this house.
Two on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
I love flowers so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got
flowers
all over your house?
Yeah, but I cut down on them now, you know what I mean? I had somebody
come
to my house one time, and they said, my God, you got so much flowers, you know. But you know what it comes from? When I was young, and I went to visit this elderly lady. She had a house, right? It's not long. This elderly lady had a house. And she took me into her backyard and showed me her flowers and stuff, you know. And it made an impression.
Mm-hmm.
She had a hibiscus tree, and she used to take me and show me all her flowers and things like that. So that made an impact on me when I was young. That's why I got to love flowers like that. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it can get overdone.
Yeah, you know what? When we're younger, people don't realize when we're younger, things that make an impact in our life usually stay with us for a very long time.
It sure do. Did you know
and that's
that?
Not just the positive thing. It's the negative thing, too. They stay with us for
true.
A very long time.
That's true.
Yeah. If it made that kind of impact, it doesn't go away overnight.
No,
that's
it
true. It doesn't go away overnight. That's very true.
You be trying to get rid of it, and it still be right there. If it's positive, you know, chances are you may not want to get rid of it, but it makes an impact on you and stays with you for a very long time. You be up in your old age, and I'm talking about people in general. You be up in your old age still feeling the residue from whatever that was that made an impact on you.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, ladies. How are you guys? I'm telling you. Y'all lift my baby up in prayer because he's traveling again.
Oh, okay.
Me and him said we wasn't going to do no more traveling for life. But that last trip took a toll on me, and we ended up taking one of the trucks and leaving it right there at the airport in Abilene. And so he flew out this morning to go pick up the truck.
Mm-hmm.
He thought I was playing a trick on him and I was going to go with him. He told me, I said, you can't go there by yourself. You need me. He said, I don't need you. You got to go to work. You're going to be tired. I'll go by myself. I'll be back in no time. I said, no, you can't do that trip alone. It helps to have company. Oh, no, I'll be back in no time. And the night before, he was like, I told our son, I said, well, I'll see you in the morning. I think we can go out to breakfast or something. And so I hung up the phone, and Pastor Stephen kind of looked at me like, what you mean? I said, We might go out to pub with me and Corey and Ted. You're like, you really didn't get a ticket? No, I didn't get no ticket. Oh, I thought this was one of those times you was going to trick me and have a ticket.
Oh, no, you did.
Even though I was laughing, I really felt bad for him. I really did. I really felt bad for him because I know that road trip, that thing is over for me. No more road trip for me. If it's more than 2 hours, chances are I'm a fly. I ain't getting back on no road. But anyway, we are praying for him because he's a nervous wreck. He's like, oh, man, I ain't got my wingman. I ain't got my road dog.
How did you do that to him?
Huh? I tried to go. But when we was on the road, he was all hyped and everything. We're like, no, you don't have to come back with me. This is nothing. I can do this. And then right at the last minute, he was like, oh, you ain't going? No, buddy, no. Remember you told me not to go. He said, I thought you would have did like you always do, get a ticket anyway. I say, surprise, I'm going. I looked at him, surprised, I'm not.
Aww.
But I feel bad for you. Hear my voice all rough like I'm a man or something. I hate when my voice is like this. But it's because I had to take him to the airport at 3:30 this morning, so he didn't make it. But I bless God. Mother's on the phone. I bless God for all of you being on the line. Everybody, good health, life, health, and strength, in a very, very good mood. We have an awesome topic this morning. Thank God. Thank God. Well, precious and heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, God. Thank you because you woke us up, clothing our right minds, the divine healings in our bodies. Father God, for all that is put before us to do, we are so grateful that we have you in the midst of it all, oh God. No matter what we have to do, you are there. King David said, if I go down to hell and make my bed there, you're there. Where can I go that you're not? And that blesses us, oh Lord, to know you are everywhere all the time. And we are so forever grateful to have you by our side. We could not make it without you. Oh, my goodness. We would be in worse condition than we are without you. So thank you, God, for never giving up on us, never turning your back on us, oh God, for loving us the way that you do, for being a merciful, caring God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When we give up on ourselves, when others give up on us, you are there still loving us, hovering over us with that hedge of protection around us. So thank you for that, God, for all that you do. We say thank you, thank you, thank you, oh God. When it looks like we don't have anybody else on our side, we always have you. So thank you, God. Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you, thank you, Father,
thank you, Father, for loving us
like no other can.
Thank you for that.
We ask that you have your way on this line today, that everything be spoken in love and with gentleness, and somebody may reach out and say, what must I do to be saved? We love you. We honor, we adore you. Have your way right now, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. We got to give honor where honor is due. We thank God for Apostle R.D. Wiggins, our visionary. Bless
Amen.
God for the man of God, for his assistant pastor, Evangelist Hilda. We thank God for her and all that she does for the work of the Lord. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank God for Apostle Mother Wiggins. Woo-hoo!
Amen.
Woo-hoo. I tell you, when I don't hear your voice, Mother, something happens to me. I be like, oh no. So we bless God for our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. Thank God that she's there and she's all smiley again. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for Apostle Jackson, Dr. Berlin Turner, Prophetess Washington, the love of my life, Pastor Stephen DuBose. Thank God for him, awesome man of God, and for his trip and traveling mercies, oh God. Thank God I thought I heard Sister Barbara in the background. Bless God for her. bless God for all of you that continue to tune in to hear what thus says the Lord. God bless Amen. You guys, and thank you for all of your support. Oh, we bless your holy name today. Here we go. This is what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about this ugly, ugly, ugly little rascal called fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about fear and the different ways that we see the emotion of fear show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know what the Bible tells us about fear. What does it tell us, Apostle Mother Wiggins?
It tells us that God doesn't move by fear. He moves by faith. And we shouldn't fear. As long as we have God with us, we should not have no kind of fear. We shouldn't have any
good.
Kind of fear. Yeah.
That's right, because we got God with us.
That's
right.
It.
He's our umbrella that every time fear try to drop on us, the umbrella can catch it. But if you
That's
take
it.
Your umbrella and pull it down, fear comes upon you, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That means you try to tackle things without God.
That's
mm-hmm.
it.
And that's when fear comes and rears its ugly head because it knows you've let your umbrella down, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not letting God cover you in that area. You're not trusting. Huh?
That's
Come
it.
On now. So, Evangelist Hilda, what else does the Bible tell us about fear?
It says that God did not give us a heart of fear.
That's right. Okay. What's the rest of the sentence?
Mother
gave us a spirit of fear.
Yeah. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and
a sound mind. Right.
That's what I want to take on first. Why do you think that the Word of God says He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind? Why do you think He gave us a sound mind?
Because we belong to Him. He's given us all wisdom. You know, of course, if we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But He's given us a sound mind because we belong to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
What
it's
do
no
you
confusion
think?
Or anything.
That's true. That's true. Bless the Lord. Evangelist Hilda, what do you think?
About what?
Oh,
why do you think God gave us a sound mind? He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us love, power, and a sound mind. Why do you think He gave us that sound mind?
So that we don't live in fear, that knowing that He is God and that if we trust in Him, that He will protect us from, you know, everything that we come up against, because He's a loving
okay.
God and He loves us that much.
Amen. Thank you. Guess what? He gave us a... Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
He gave us a sound mind because that's where fear attacks us first,
mm-hmm.
in our mind.
Yeah.
That's why He said He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us love, power, and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear always attacks in the mind first.
That's true. Hello?
Yeah, I said I'd like to be included in the discussion. I wanted to add something.
Okay, I'm sorry. Normally, you don't want to be in the discussion. Go ahead. Sure.
Oh, no.
Have your
I
way.
I don't argue about that. But anyway, fear and faith, He said, cannot exist in the same feeling. You either have faith or you have fear. And if you have faith, then you're going to allow God to do what God does. God is in charge. But if you have fear, then you don't have faith. So it's either one or the other. And if you profess to be a Christian, you should have faith.
Amen.
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 So just like I think every preacher out there came up with the book with the battle of the minds and all these things that go on in your mind. Because fear normally starts attacking us in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So God let us know, I gave you love, right? A spirit of love. Guess what that spirit of love is? Himself. God is love and he's a spirit. He gave us himself.
That's right.
Okay? So that was the love. What's the power?
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you. It's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yes, because remember what he told the disciples? He says, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes back. Why? Because he's going to give you,
power.
That's right. So he gave you love, he gave you himself, he gave you his spirit, and he gave you a sound mind. So you know what that means? We really do have the ability to control what we think about. Yeah. If you choose to think on negative things all the time, you're going to be a negative person. If you choose to think on the good stuff, you're going to be a positive, happy, sunshine person, right? It's what you're thinking of. There's times when I go around, people open up my mouth and they say, what are you thinking about? And I'm thinking, why they said that? Because of what flowed out your mouth. It had to stem from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Yeah. Ask about, you made a statement that we can control what we think about. I don't agree with that. A lot of times things come into our minds that we have to say, Satan, I rebuke you, because that's not the way that we, you know, think we're feeling. So the thoughts sometimes come not from our own. They just come.
When I say that we have the ability to control what we think about, that means that the Word of God has told us to cast down every thought that so easily besets us. As soon as that thought comes in there, you have the ability to get rid of it. Don't harbor on it. Don't meditate on it.
True.
You can let that thing go. Don't sit there thinking about it. That's what I mean when I say we have the ability to control, because the Word of God tells us to cast down every thought. So those thoughts that come in your mind that's so easy to protect you, whatever, guess what? If you can cast them down, that means you got control over them. You can let them go.
Okay.
Soon as they enter your mind. So anyway, so Apostle Mother Wiggins, Evangelist Hilda, Sister Bar, I don't know who else is on the line, Evangelist Hilda. There's
nobody
a lot of countries in the background, they don't say anything. Okay, thank you. So if you can cast them down, you can control them. One of the things, one of the fruits of the Spirit that will help you with that is what?
Discerning of spirit.
What's the other one? The fruit of the spirit that the Spirit of God gives you, that the Holy Ghost gives you.
Joy, peace.
How about self-control?
Yes. Give you self-control.
Yeah, that can help you with that self-control. Right? Who are you controlling? Yourself. And yourself is usually doing things that are in your mind. I'm so glad that with the word of God, most preachers will tell you, oh, I'm not going to debate God's word. You take that up with him later on. So none of us have to debate God's word. All we got to do is talk about it. What the guy says, you got to agree to disagree at times and keep it moving. You know what I mean? Why?
Yeah.
Because when we talk about God's word, we're talking about love. Wherever there's love, there should be some gentleness, some sweetness, stuff like that. But guess why we're talking about fear today? There is a lot of people out there still operating in fear. I just told y'all when Pastor Stephen left here this morning, he was afraid. And I'm saying, oh, God is with you. You're going to be okay. He's like, oh, I won't get on this road. Oh, I don't want to fly. I'm telling you, you know. Because you know what? When we came down this last time, we have never had a trip like that. It was horrible. The wind, when I say the winds were moving, when they had to put signs up on the highway that say strong winds and stuff like that, they have to do that because sometimes the wind will move your car. That's strong they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's tossing
That's
you
what
to
we
it,
had
bro.
Yesterday. That we
strong
had the
wind?
Winds was the wind some places the wind was like 50 to 65 miles per hour.
Really?
It was very, very windy yesterday.
When it's windy like that, trust you me. Yeah, that's a scary thing when you're on the highway and the wind is going like that and just pushing. And if a truck comes by and the wind from that truck will move you to the side.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a horrible ride down this last time. And so both of us was like, you know what? We ain't as young as we used to be. No more traveling cross country. Because that's a 2.5-day trip.
Wow.
And it was a 2.5-day. Well, for us this time, it was 4 days.
Ooh, I thought
he
was
driving one truck. I was driving another.
Wow.
2.5 days?
I got out of the truck to go tell him that I don't think I can make it. Let's stop in the hotel. The wind blew me back to the truck. I said, no, I ain't driving in this. And so, so now to have to take that trip all by yourself, all over again, although it's only like 8 hours that he's going to be driving, still, 8 hours makes a difference when you're on the highway. The reason why we're talking about fear, I looked it up, it's an unpleasant emotion. There is nothing pleasant about the emotion of fear. There's only one fear that takes on a positive tone. Which fear is that?
Fear of the Lord.
That's right. Everybody knows the fear of God. Why does it have a positive tone?
Because it shows you have reverence for him. You have awe for him.
That is the reason. Because it's not fear the way people think, that it's an emotion that's going to scare you or you're afraid of. The fear of the Lord means you have reverence, respect for the Lord thy God.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about the happenings with the Asian population all over the country where they are being, you know what happened in Atlanta when they killed, six Asian women and two others. And what they're doing in New York all the time, basically slashing them in the face, punching them in the face, you know, pushing them over and all. What do you think about the fear that they are sustaining?
The Asians?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So it's almost like a hate crime is what they saying out here. It's almost like a hate crime.
Yeah,
it's
hate crime too.
Shame on those people that would attack somebody because they feel like you're the reason this corona came about. Hey, we don't know where the corona came from. As far as I know, it came from the government that put something in something that developed it. What I feel about what they're doing to the Asians and the fear that the Asians have to walk in, I know the feeling. That's a horrible feeling. You can't even think about, okay, am I going out today and it's going to be a good day? Because now it's not just in Atlanta or in New York. It's all over the place now. Why? Because they're making it seem as if the Asians brought over the pandemic and whatever the virus was, that's where it stemmed from. We don't know where it stemmed from. We only know what the government told us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I can only imagine that kind of fear.
What do you think about the fear?
What do I think? Okay. I can only imagine that kind of fear. I've never gotten to that magnitude, but I have had to tackle fear, like I said, that trip and everything else. So I know your heart is racing, you're sweating, you can't concentrate. It's a messed up feeling. And so with the Asians, I know a lot of people out there saying, oh, now they feel like we felt all our lives because as black people, we walk in fear what's going to happen to us. Ooh, you know what, in this life, it's not supposed to be a tit for tat. It's wrong. Yeah. All of it is wrong. It
and
is a horrible feeling.
The Asians, some of them are afraid to go outside, especially the elderly ones. They're scared to go outside. They don't know what's going to happen to them.
Yeah, they're afraid now.
Very fearful.
But my thing is, when the Asians are fearful, they don't know how to get rid of it. They don't know who they could run to and say, well, is anybody going to help us or whatever? They don't know that because, you know,
running to their representatives.
Thinking,
they're running to their representatives, and a lot of their representatives are Asian, so they've had a lot of them speaking up for them.
Well, if they in this country, they saying, you know what are we going to do now? Because we don't know if the Mexicans are against us, the blacks, the whites, we got so many nationalities against us. And black people are saying, welcome to my life. You know, Mexican, welcome to my life. Everybody's saying the same thing. Welcome to my life. I've had some hard times. And white people are saying the same thing. I can't even go get myself a donut and I see a black man and not think whether or not. So everybody's thinking in their mind, ooh, this is not good. And it isn't. It isn't good. This ain't the kind of life God created for us. This is what we've done to ourselves, people, humans, taking on. When did people become vigilantes going out there? Well, you brought over the pandemic. Well, you're black. Well, you're white. You got money. We don't. Oh, my goodness. There could be so many people out there killing for reasons they think they have reasons to, and nobody has reason to take someone's life. I feel for the Asians. I feel for the black people. I feel for the white. When you walk in fear, it doesn't matter what color you are. Fear don't care about your color. Fear is just, here I am. You going to embrace me or you going to let me go? Some people know how to let fear go, and some people can't. It overtakes them. It's an overwhelming feeling. But it doesn't feel good, that's for sure. And I tell you, I feel for them.
As these various groups that you called, you know, the blacks, the Mexicans, the Asians, and some whites, that's when we have to form a solidarity. We have to look out for one another. And in all this hatred, maybe that will bring us together. Maybe it'll be a world. Just like the pandemic, that kind of brought a lot of us closer to God. So maybe in this is another way that God is working in his mysterious way to try to get people to come together as one.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that if that is true, then it's not God working in his mysterious ways. I think that what the enemy meant for bad, God will use it for his good, because it's not God that's coming up with what's happening. That would be the enemy. So what the enemy meant for bad, God could turn around and use it for his good. That's
right.
What I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
That's the main point.
Yeah.
That the bad things
yeah.
that are happening, whether God caused them or allowed them to happen, we're coming together because we know, as you said, we've all been in the same boat. We've all been hated. We've been lynched. We've been beat. We've been, you know, shot in the back and just made to feel like we're nothing. And in the same
mm-hmm.
instance, we can identify with the Asians because they're being abused right now. Like I said, I don't know who caused it. God is in charge of everything. So I think that will bring us together as a people of all races and nationalities.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a possibility. I really do, because like with the pandemic, you know, like you said, a lot of people, a lot of different nationalities came together, and they were fearful. So they came together and talked things out, and they all were starting to go to church and love on the Lord. I do know that something of that evilness, what's going on, that hate crime, killing people, I do know that is not of God's nature. But I also know everything that happens, God has the ability to allow it or not. There's nothing Satan can do without coming to God first for approval. So, you know, I know that he has the ability to allow it or say, no, that's not going to happen. And it was allowed to happen. And I believe that through this, more people are going to head towards God. More people are going to start loving on each other. Why? Because, like you said, I've been there. I felt what you're feeling. You know, it's not a good feeling. It really isn't. I don't care who you are. I hate to see people just come at for no reason. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? You walk down the street. You know what your heart feels like when you look across the street and you see somebody run up against a senior that can't even help themselves and just
Thanks.
Snatch the purse or push the person down. They're not even after the money. They just stupid. Knock the person down just because,
mm-hmm.
you know. It lets us know what's really in this world.
Yeah.
We got a lot of ugliness,
oh,
darkness
yeah.
still in this world. It's still here. And my thing is, if you are sick and tired of the darkness, run over here to the marvelous light. God
yeah.
is going to welcome you. He's going to protect you. He's going to wrap his arms around you. So, yeah. I do believe it's going to be used for the better of the people to draw, because look it, Asians are so scared that if they see someone that looks like they can be trusted, they'll confide in them and say, this is horrible, what's going on with my people, and they'll start talking to them. And chances are it's somebody of another race, you know? So yeah, it's gonna cause people to reach out to one another, and certainly draw closer to God. It's another episode of that wind that's passing through, that's pushing everybody towards God. Why? Because that's safety. That's our refuge. Yeah. That's what I feel, Mother.
Amen.
How about you? What you feel, Apostle Mother Wiggins?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, that, you know, people, of course, some people to change, although we know that everybody is not going to change or be with God, you know what I'm saying, even though they're, because this world really is Satan is the prince of this world here. And so everybody is not going to be
you know, towards the Lord. They're not going to be towards God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, these things that happen, it makes some people come towards God, and some people, if they see something going on with one race, you know, they make them closer together because they're all going through the same thing. You know, they're all going through the same thing, so it makes them have more compassion, and because nobody wants to see somebody being prejudiced against them. You know what I mean? How they look and things like that. Nobody wants to be wants to have that, you know. Or a person think they're so much greater than you are because of the color of their skin, or because their hair is different, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it makes people get closer together. As far as this, so that's why they're attacking them, because they feel that they brought over this coronavirus, or they had something to do with it. Is that what it is? I didn't understand why they were attacking them.
But they didn't. It was our ex-president that put that thought into these people's mind to tell them that it's because of the Asian people that the pandemic happened here, that so many people died.
I think they said the virus that I think they were saying the virus came from China or something like that.
Right.
Not necessarily the Asian people. They said where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Wuhan pandemic. Anyway, what I was thinking was a lot of these people that are perpetuating the violence on the Asians are homeless. So, and I think we talked about this not too long ago, Evangelist, is that a lot of them are just looking for three hots and a cot.
Yeah.
You know, so they hit somebody, they push somebody, they punch them, you know, they do what they do, the evilness, because they need a place to live.
Right. And
well,
they
I'm
feel,
wondering if they have a mental problem. You don't think they have a mental problem?
Who knows? What, you know, who knows if it's a mental thing? The thing is they're hurting people, and they don't have money to get an apartment. And apartments are not cheap. I was talking to someone the other day about a studio for someone. She said they're around $1,800 for a studio apartment.
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
So she was in real estate, so I take what she said to be true. There are some less, and there are some more. But you got people out here who don't have a home. I don't know where they're staying, in shelters or on park benches or under bridges. But they don't have anywhere to live, so they're doing things that will cause them to be arrested.
Yeah, because
so that's society's problem. That's the government's issue. They need to do something to accommodate these people.
They get three meals at least in jail. They get three meals a day, and they have a place to sleep.
That's what I said already. Three hots and a cot.
Oh, that's what you meant by that. Okay.
Three hot meals and a bed to sleep in, a cot.
Oh, okay.
But you don't have to harm somebody else to do that. I mean, go out there and, you know, I don't know what else you could do to get arrested, but you don't have to do that.
No.
Go steal a bag of potato chips or something. You'll get it, you know. You get arrested.
But the thing is
that some of those people have a mental problem.
I'm with you, Mother. Not all of them are doing it because they want to go to jail. There are some people out there with mental problems. Yeah.
That's undeniable. Every crime that's committed is not because the person is crazy.
And it's not also because they want to go to jail. They're looking for a house.
Some people like the lifestyle they have that was staying on the street.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Exactly.
Or in a shelter. Some of them like that lifestyle.
If you talk to some of them, they'll tell you, I don't want the headaches of bills. I don't want no overhead. And you go, what? Right. So you okay with staying in the street? And
yeah.
They are. They are okay with it. And don't mess with their box, they said. I'm like, ain't nobody gonna mess with nobody's box.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's not, there's all kind of reasons why people are homeless. You know. Mm-hmm. You got some people that are homeless that are educated.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all right. Strata of society.
And you go, wow, okay. Smart. I mean, you go, well, what happened? You want to know what happened. Sometimes they'll tell you, and sometimes they'll tell you, just let it be. Just let me be.
Something
you know?
Happened.
But, you know, I saw on YouTube.
Go ahead, Mother.
But I saw on YouTube where they're making communities for homeless people.
Really?
You know, they're making communities where they're making these single houses where they just go into the house and sleep, you know, small houses, and they're making it into a community, you know. And they have one big place where they come to and they eat and stuff like that together and stuff. They're making beautiful communities for homeless people. That's what they're doing.
Well, if they're going to do all that, they need to upgrade the shelters then. Because that's the purpose of all those shelters.
No, this place is better than a shelter. They have their own.
That's what I'm saying. It's better than a shelter. So why not upgrade the shelter?
A lot of the women, especially the young women with children, they go into shelters so that they can get a nice apartment. So they allow themselves to lose what they have, go into a shelter, and they go on a list or whatever to get a 2-3-bedroom apartment, you know, basically paid for by the city or the government out there. They do that on purpose.
Some of them. And some of them get
It does move them up the list if they go into get government help and they say that they're homeless.
Yeah.
They live in a shelter.
But it takes a while, too. They don't go in there and get something immediately. Sometimes they're in there for, you know, many months,
many years.
I know a young lady, she's been in there. She has a son. I think she finally found an apartment. But at least the boy must be about 7 years old now. She's been in a shelter for all of his life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Different ones, different locations, but that's what some of them
with
do,
fear,
make it a career, a lifestyle.
With fear, we understand that fear is definitely an unpleasant emotion. That means you're afraid of something, right? You could have fear of height. You could have a fear of drowning. You could have a fear of being electrocuted. You could have a fear of flying. You could have a fear of walking.
Absolutely. Fear of falling in the elevator.
You got people in the wheelchair. They are fearful. They don't want to try to walk.
My fear is the elevator. And every time I have a bad dream, I'm always in. Side of an elevator, and the elevator is falling.
It's falling.
Absolutely.
A lot of people have had that dream where the elevator is falling. I don't know where that dream has come from, except that it's
I
don't
know.
I think when you have stress, that's when you have that kind of dream. You're stressed out about something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you feel like you're falling,
I was
right?
So stressed a whole lot.
Yeah, you're, or either maybe you've taken on too much stuff, too much of something, you see, and you need a break.
One of the things that we heard is that God does not move on fear; He moves on faith, and faith and fear should not be occupying the same body or the mind. If you got faith, you ought to just be stuck with your faith. But we do know that people of faith do become fearful, right? And the Word of God lets us know these emotions are going to come on you, these thoughts are going to come in your mind, but don't let them remain there too long.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right? Cast them down as soon as they enter in. Don't sit there and harbor on those thoughts.
That's right.
The longer you harbor on it, meditate on it, think about it, the more chances it's going to overtake you.
Oh, yeah. It gets stronger.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, God's going to give us a way of escape. But
yes,
do not think that because you're a Christian that you're exempt from fear. You're not. Fear comes on everybody.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, but it's how you take on what's trying to overtake you. Are you trusting God to help you deal with this fear, to get rid of this fear? You
right.
know? So that's where he says, I gave you love, I gave you myself, I gave you power, I gave you my spirit, and I created you with a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you have the ability to cast down those thoughts when they come in there, because thoughts will get you in trouble every time. If you continue to let those same thoughts keep filtering into your mind, because you could be looking at something. I think I should go get that car. I think I should go get that car. I'm going to go get that car. I want that car. I'm going to get it. You see what I mean? Because you kept thinking about it so long, you know?
What do you mean?
We
got to
be careful. Well, it depends. Some people just sitting there thinking, I'm going to go get that car. I know because I was watching somebody in my family. If he see a car and he think about it too long, next thing you know, he drives it down the block. And we go, where you get the car from? Over there. Over there where? Ain't no dealership over there. He done broke into the people's car and took the people's car.
Oh, no.
You know, so you got to be careful what you're thinking, because not all the time will you do the right thing to get what it is you got your eyes set on. There are times you're going to do the wrong thing. But what we're talking about is fear. And that outside of the fear of God, there's nothing good about fear. Don't let that take over you. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed with it. God tells us, fear not, for I am with you.
That's
right. So since fear comes in there and tries to take over you, you start quoting that scripture back to God. God, you said you was going to be with me. You told me to fear not. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me. You said you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and desire. Start quoting that scripture, and before you know it, you will walk yourself right out of that emotion that just tried to overtake you.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that your Bible is a weapon, start using it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
When the attacks come up from the enemy, start using your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Start using your Bible, because that's your best defense right there. Because your Bible is your God. God is his word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, ladies. Anybody want to say anything before we close out? Because we got to come to a close now.
No, it was a good topic. For me,
it was good.
God bless you. The reason why we talk about fear, when you sit there and you talk about certain things that God gives you, you know what he's bringing it out for? So people can know they have a defense against it.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many of God's people that are afraid to tell somebody. They walk in fear. They live in fear because they don't want to be ridiculed. Because the person, well, you know God is with you. Yeah, but I can't control the fear that's over me right now. I don't know what it is. Can you pray for me? You know, so you got some of God's people not wanting to tell people what they're dealing with. Just like they don't want to tell them what you call those things. Alcohol and those things. addiction. They don't want to tell people about their addiction because they don't want to be ridiculed. So God has to send a topic in to talk about it so that anyone that hears it saying, you know what, I got help. I don't have to operate in fear. I don't have to be stuck in fear. You know what I'm saying? I can call on the Lord. I can call on my pastor, and they will walk me through it. Just like people call up and say, okay, I feel the urge to get a drink. And someone talks them down off that cliff. Same thing with fear. Mm-hmm. But if we never reach out for help, we won't get any help.
That's true.
Sure. Right? And right now, God is saying, I don't want my people operating in fear. I want them to reach out for help. And I'm going to lead them to the right person at the right time to reach out for help. Because sometimes you reach out for help with the wrong person, and that person leave you in worse condition than it was when they got to you. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you saying, yourself, I never should have called them.
Yeah, I never did.
Well, we want to be cautious of fear. Fear trying to come up on us. Remember, we can cast down those thoughts. Don't let those thoughts hover in your mind. Get rid of them, you know. So we thank God because God is trying to get his world, this world, to the point where we're not so overtaken by fear. You got people don't want to go outside. You got people don't want to turn on the TV. You got people don't even like the telephone because of fear. So you can't get any help if you don't reach out for it. Help is there. You just got to let God show you where to go for your help.
Mm-hmm.
Where somebody else went and they got help may not be where God sends you. But we thank God for all of you guys. Thank you for joining in on the conversation talk in the sanctuary. It was a beautiful topic. And I pray that all of us got something out of it, how we can better deal with fear, how we can look to the hills from which cometh our help. Lord, you said, fear not, for I am with thee, right?
Amen.
And that applies to all of us. I'm with
Amen.
All of you, right? If he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'm there with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I am with you. I can help you overcome this if you let me in.
Yes.
If you don't let me in, I can't help you.
That's right.
You got to let me in,
open
right?
Up and let
you
got
to hear my voice above the fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like in the New York City, everybody in New York City knows there's always noise going on in the city. And then you might hear that little voice in the background of kid going, Mommy. And with all the noise going on, you can hear that kid saying, Mommy. And everybody turns around, that's a mother, to say, who is that calling?
Yeah.
You know, you see what I'm saying? So you got to hear God with all this racket going on. You got to hear that little still voice that says, fear not, I'm with you.
Amen.
Don't take that on. I'm going to help you get through this. And it may be easy, and it may not be easy, but God will stay right there until he pulls you through that thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
For all of you that don't have a relationship with God, it is never, ever too late. All you got to do is open up your mouth and let God know what he already knows. Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that your son Jesus came and died for my sins, our sins, the sins of the world. Come into my life, dear Lord. I'll make you my Lord and Savior. And believe it or not, he made it that easy, that simple for you to come to him. Why? Because it's not his desire that any should perish. So he makes it as easy as possible for you to come into a relationship with him. And after you pray that prayer, then you pray and say, Father God, lead me to a good household of faith where I can become stronger in growing in the knowledge of you. Those things that are pleasing in your sight, displeasing, I want to be more Christ-like. I want to be loving and kind and forgiving and merciful. And I want to show others grace. I want to do the things that are found pleasing in your sight, Lord God, but I know that I need your help. I cannot do it on my own. And he'll be standing there with his arms wide open and greeting you right where you are. right? Because he's a loving, merciful, forgiving God. And he will meet all of us right where we are. You say, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything about the church. I don't know much about anything. And God says, it's okay. I'm going to send a teacher. He's going to help you. He's going to teach you. He's going to let you go to those places where you will learn more and more about God's ways. Right? Don't be afraid to come. Don't let that fear. I've done this. God has said, yeah, sure. Okay, but if you're willing to give it up, I'm willing to accept it. Amen? Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson today on fear. Thank you, oh God, because we know that you've given us love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you for all that you've done, continuing to do, to give all of us strength in those areas that we find ourselves weak in, Lord. Even if it's fear, we know that even though you didn't give us the spirit of fear, some of your people tackle fear because of what's in this world and what goes on around us. But we don't need to harbor there. We don't need to stay there. We need to cast those thoughts down and replace them with the things of righteousness and holiness. But we need your help, God. We need your strength. We need your direction. We need your guidance. We always need you, Father God. And we are so grateful that you are always available to us. Thank you for all that you've done, doing, and are going to do. Bless every household under the sound of my voice. Continue to lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go, to be more loving, more kind, more gentle. Those things that are of you, God, help us to be more like you and less like ourselves. We ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda. God bless you, guys.
And praise be to God. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins and our portress, Barbara Amore, and our Talk in the Sanctuary with our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry. So God bless you all on behalf of my pastor, prophet, the Wiggins, my co-host, Sister Barbara, the Fivefold Ministry, and all of our guests online and those on the internet. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the rest of it.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. God bless you, Mother.
Guys.
Good to hear you. Love you. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Love you. So, Mother.
Tell your family I said hello.
She's gone already. You know, she's on those minute things, so if she doesn't have a certain time to talk, so she tuned out already. So, again, you know, everybody have a wonderful weekend. And Barbara, I'll see you tomorrow.
God willing. We'll see
God's
you tomorrow.
God's willing and we're able.
We'll find out. Love you all.
Love
you
all
right.
too. Have a
Love
good one.
All.
And on that note, we're going to tune out with All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. Praise God. Bye, Mother.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.